Hope everyone has, as Mr. Zimkovic was saying, everyone had a safe trip in and is going well. Mr. Zimkovic was kind enough to let me take care of two announcements. One of them is, well, you'll hear it, you'll understand it in a minute. This one, there is a feast baby. Dylan James Tannert was born October 2nd, 2017, Monday at 1:36 a.m., weighing 8 pounds, 7.4 ounces. Mark and Lucy Tannert, parents, are local residents of the Cincinnati area. Mom and baby are now home resting and attended to by many family who have come from other parts of the country to celebrate both the feast and the baby. There is no comment here about the father, how he's doing. The second announcement actually is my wife and I, on the same day, became grandparents for the second time. Our oldest daughter gave birth to a little girl, 11 pounds, 4 ounces. Our first grandbaby was 9'2". We said she was almost fully growed. This one is growed. And she's 22 inches long, and she is just wonderful to hold. And so, yeah, Grandma and Grandpa are popping their buttons right now. And we have our oldest granddaughter with us right now. And Mom and Dad are doing well. She had to have a C-section, as you might be able to understand. So she's still in the hospital, but hopes to be released tomorrow. And the other grandmother is coming out from Denver and will be here for the feast as well. So looking forward to that. So thank you, Mr. Zimkovic, for allowing me to make those two wonderful announcements. And they are bringing life into the world is a precious, precious thing from God. We had the video, and they tried to steal some of my thunder, but that's okay. There's going to be a lot of thunder stolen during these 8 days here. There's going to be ministers going along, so scratch that. But that's, repetition, that's how we learn. We are here starting at sunset, beginning to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. It is one of the Lord's festivals commanded to be observed, as you can see and as you know, in Leviticus 23. It is a 7-day feast to the Lord, and we are to observe it. God commands it. This feast and the last feast on the 8th day culminates the annual feast of God Almighty. These feast days actually lay out, as we know, the great salvation plan of God for all of mankind. Not just us, not the called out ones, but for all of mankind as we know. And we are reminded of that plan through these annual festivals on a yearly basis. We are reminded of it yearly. These are annual holy days. The Sabbath is a weekly reminder for us, right? The Sabbath is a weekly reminder. It reminds us that God is our creator. It reminds us where our life comes from and that all comes from him. But it also talks about the Sabbath rest. It also reminds us on a weekly basis of the great plan of God. So we have a weekly reminder and we have the annual reminder of that wonderful plan. God has been so kind to us by opening our eyes to it. And as Mr. Armstrong used to say, for those of you who remember him, repetition is the best teacher. God knows that, so he makes sure that we look at this every year to be reminded of what it is that he is doing. It's not what we're doing, it's what he is doing. Let's look at Leviticus 23. I wish I had those little kids up here. I could have them read it once again. Leviticus 23, verse 34 through the first half of 36. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then he picks it up in verse 39. Drop down to verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. This is a command. I'm not asking you to do this. He says, you shall do this. On the first day, there should be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of bountiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and the willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. For you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. And you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in the booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And you are all here because you have heeded that command of God Almighty. He said, be there, you're here. We are here. Before I go any further, it's always interesting to know, though, is there anyone here that is celebrating the feast for their first time? Any hands? Are we all? Yeah. We've been around. Was there one? Oh, there he is. All right. Excellent. Let's welcome him. Excellent. It's always nice to see. I hope you have a wonderful feast. As we begin our observance, let us review some other important commands of God with regard to this particular feast. God has given us within those commands other things that he's told us to do. God doesn't do anything just because. He has a reason for anything that he does, anything that he requires. There is some reason behind it. So I want to look at some of these important commands of God with regard to this particular feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, with the intent of making it a great feast this year for you and for others. Let's consider some of the ordinances or commands that are associated with the Feast of Tabernacles at this time, and let's consider their importance and why those commands were given to us by God. You'll have other things that you can fill in, but let's hopefully get you to thinking about why it is God has said certain things and why they're important, the things that we can learn from them. Turn over to Deuteronomy 14. We're going to look at verse 22 through 26. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always, he said. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far away, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which I, the Lord your God, chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. There's an awful lot there in that passage we just read. We are told to tithe on our increase each year. In the Church of God community, we call that second tithe or festival tithe. Called it second tithe for many years. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? In verse 23, it says to do this, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. This fear does have to do with a fear that brings on trembling. Yeah, it does. But it also has to do with reverence. We should save our festival tithe so that we may learn to tremble before the God Almighty, but also that we may learn reverence for His righteous ways. That is the far greater reason. To have an awesome respect for the one who provides everything for us. He wants us to fear Him, to respect Him. What He really wants, deep down, as we'll come to, really wants, He wants us to love Him. That fear, He wants translated, much like faith, faith grows to agape, agape love. He wants that fear, that respect, to grow to deep love for Him because of who He is, and we understand our relation to Him. But there is more to it than that. Because we have this tithe, we have more money to spend in a little over a week than at any other time in the year. So, let's look at what that means. For someone who makes $30,000 a year, that works out to be approximately $577 a week, or $82.42 a day. If you're making $30,000, that's what that works out to be roughly. But a tithe of that salary is $3,000, or approximately $375 a day for those 8 days. That's 4.5 times what you live on per day throughout the rest of the year. 4.5 times. That significance is twofold. God wants you to have an abundant feast. He wants you to have an abundant feast. But it also pictures much about what the feast represents in God's great plan. When the whole world will be restored, as we see in Peter, Acts 3:19, the restoration of all things, the times of refreshing. This feast pictures a time unlike anything man has known since Adam and Eve. I'm not even sure Adam and Eve even understood it, even went through this. There is going to be so much abundance that our measly second tithe won't even be able to compare to it. But that is what He is teaching us if we truly set aside our festival tithe. If we truly obey Him, we're learning. He's teaching us what it is going to be like as close as He can in that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. We call the millennium. We were certainly going to hear more about that during these days. I'm not intending in any way to steal anyone's thunder or go through all of that. There's so much to learn. I always love to hear it from year to year. God just wants to give us a foretaste of what He has always planned for life to be for you, for me, for all of humanity. He's just trying to give us a foretaste of what He has always wanted to give humanity. He's letting us learn that today. We will certainly hear more about that, as I said. And that's a good thing. Repetition, bring it on. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 16, a couple of chapters over. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Here we are told more about how to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. If it is important to God, it should be important to us, right? It better be. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 13 through 15 first. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. Verse 14, we are told, we are to rejoice. Leviticus 23, verse 40, said the same thing, basically. To learn to rejoice. This means that while we are at the feast, we are to have joy. Be cheerful and glad. That's what we individually are supposed to. That's what we're supposed to be doing and being during the feast. But there is more to it than that as well. We are to help others rejoice. That's what we read here. We are to help others rejoice. We are to make other people glad and merry. Cheer them up. Make it a goal of yours, not in a I'll make you happy whether you like it or not manner. I've seen people like that. But do your best to always have an eye out for those who need cheering up. Also with an eye to the fact of it will rub off on them. Hoping it will rub off on them. So that your joy will bring joy to others and it becomes contagious. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures this wonderful time when the whole earth will be restored. When Jesus Christ is returned, and as we just observed, the devil, Satan, the dragon, will be removed. He will not be in the picture anymore. This wonderful time when the earth will be restored and the nature of animals changed, and we will see the desert bloom. And as we learn from the Day of Atonement, that influence of Satan will no longer be there, and he is the source of all evil, sin, and despair. So, while you're here, as they say, let's put on a happy face and help others to be happy and full of joy as well. Be a bright, happy light, because the 1,000-year period will be a time of immeasurable joy. And God says, I want you to rejoice. I want you to come to this feast with joy. I want you to rejoice before me. In verse 14, there's another directive from God in this passage, and it says, you shall rejoice in your feast with your family and the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. There are some who don't have that pleasure of being able to enjoy it with family. But be very thankful, those of you who do have family that you can rejoice with. Some of you have family in different feast sites. That's understandable. It happens to my wife and me. But, hey, they're enjoying the feast. And then we have many things to talk about when they return. It says, it also mentions the Levite, but we are under a new priesthood now, that of Jesus Christ, who is now our high priest. We'll come back to that a little bit and consider that. So as we go through the feast, consider the widows among us. Make sure they are taking care of, and that they are rejoicing as well. That's basically a command from God. Make sure the widow is rejoicing. We don't have orphans so much in this world today. So we don't see that so much in our society today, at least not in the church. However, what is the significance, the importance of this command from God in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? What is it that we can learn? There are two things that we can learn. Add on all that you want from there. Consider this, please. When the time pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, what we sometimes refer to as the millennium, when that begins after the Great Tribulation, the heavenly signs and the devastation leading up to and including the return of Jesus Christ, there will be orphans and widows everywhere. They're going to be everywhere. And we are being taught today that we will have to look after them. We are going to have to care for them. God wants us to learn today what we will have to be doing then. And help them, cheer them up, and help them to find a glad and merry heart. Bring them to the point of joy so that they can rejoice as well. And there will also be a kind of strangers who will come among the nation of Israel as Jesus Christ is restoring Israel to its land. We must not shun them or turn them away from them. We can't turn our backs on them. But welcome them in and help them to rejoice in the abundance, both physically and spiritually, of what God has for all of mankind. So that's a lesson we can learn, why God says don't neglect the orphan, the widow, the stranger. Because he wants us to be able to apply that in the millennium when people will be needing it so much. Can you imagine the trauma that people will have gone through once that is finished, once that is over? People are going to be in shock. We are going to have to help them. But all this has another blessing in disguise for us, for you, for me. All this physical stuff we can have at the feast can turn us inward if we're not careful. Remembering others outside of our families help to turn our focus outward. So if we're remembering the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, all of a sudden our focus is turned elsewhere. That's what we call love, or agape love, the love of God. With all this abundance in 1 week, we can turn inward if we are not careful. But that's not what we're here for, is it? I know that's not why you're here for. We're here because God wants us to live as he lives, the greatest giver of all. We can expand that even further. When you are in a store, a restaurant, or the hotel, wherever you are, be kind, thoughtful to them as well. Be respectful to them, but also be joyful and happy, and maybe, just maybe, it will rub off on them. Especially if they happen to be having a bad day. Now, my father-in-law has been dead about, my wife's probably going to say, he got it wrong again, about 3 years. But he, when he would sit in a restaurant or something, a waitress would come up, and she was not having a good day, all of a sudden, he was self-appointed. He was going to make her laugh, or him laugh. And he did. He was wonderful at it. When he started that, or he'd see that, he'd just do what he could to make them laugh, to bring on a smile. And it was wonderful to see. That's us. And that's God with us. God is the same way. Hey, I want you to rejoice. I want you to have joy. I want you to be happy. and I want you to share it with others. One last area for us to consider as we begin the Feast of Tabernacles. Israel in Leviticus 23 was told to build booths or temporary dwellings to live in for those 7 days. Today we, for the most part, move out of our homes and into a hotel, another home, a condominium, or some people put up tents, stay in tents or travel trailers and such. That's what my parents and my brothers did for over 15 years. We were in a tent. We are commanded to live in temporary dwellings. Why is that so important in God's plan? Most of us, we know, we understand, but let's remember it again. One thing it teaches us is that we are living our lives today in a temporary or physical tent. This is all temporary. Our bodies are physical. The earth is physical. The homes we live in are physical, and the money we earn is physical. Even gold and silver is physical. All this physical abundance is just that, physical. But if we obey Him, He says He will bless us even more. He tells us that. If we collect our tithe, if we save it, and we come before Him and observe and rejoice, He said, I will bless you even more. More than you can even handle. More than you can be able to think about at this time. God wants to teach us that His plan is leading us to something far greater than a physical place to live. We'll hear more about that as we progress to the Feast of, and on to the eighth day. What God has planned for us is far greater than anything we can even begin to comprehend today. Paul said, we look through a glass darkly. God has told us so much, but yet there's other things that He has not revealed to us yet. We have come to the Feast of Tabernacles, and one of the places He has put His name. As we go through this feast, remember why God has given us such abundance during this 8-day period of time. Consider it. Remember, it's a blessing from Him, but He's teaching us lessons. And with that abundance, we are to learn to reverence God Almighty and be cheerful and happy, and in turn, brighten up others as well, and to take care of the widows and others who have needs. And in doing so, we are to rejoice. Have joy in being able to give to others. All this helps us to focus on God and others. And it also should fix our minds on the great overall purpose this Feast of Tabernacles has in God's great plan. Salvation and fulfillment for all mankind. Yes, Feast of Tabernacles in the eighth day is fulfillment. It is fulfillment of the plan that God has always wanted for His family, eternity. So, remember while you're here, respect God Almighty. Enjoy the blessings He has given you. Respect Him, enjoy. Remember others and take care especially of the widows, and rejoice. Rejoice. Have joy in your heart at this feast. Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles.